We are going to look at, I have a place to put this book. The book of Jude, the little book of Jude, had a verse there that kind of helped me think about, help prepare your thinking for our lesson today. He wrote, intending to just encourage the brethren where he, to whom he was writing, but he decided that it was more necessary and urgent that he spend some time urging contending for the faith. Contending for the faith. A faith that was once for all to delivered. And if he encouraged them to contend for the faith, he would encourage us as well in our generation to contend for the faith. And our theme this year is largely about our faith. And I want to spend some time each month, maybe one lesson a month, talking about some points of faith that we may need to spend some time defending in our generation. Not that I could cover all of those, because the faith is everything from the beginning of Matthew to the book of Revelation, the faith in Jesus Christ. So it is all one body of teaching, and every bit of it is essential. But in our generation, there are some points that may need discussing and talked about more than perhaps at other times. And so I've just selected some of those for this year to talk about, maybe one a month. They will be controversial because we live in a generation that is moving farther away from the faith, and we have an obligation to maintain our confidence in it. Today I just want to raise this question. This is a simple one. Can the Scriptures be understood? Because that's sort of foundational and fundamental before you address some of the more particular topics of faith that concern people. And so I want us to think about that this morning. Can the Scriptures be understood? In our generation, some people think that that's impossible, that you really can't understand the Bible, that it's really written for the experts, or it's too ancient or archaic, and we really just can't understand it. And I want to suggest to you, first of all, that if the Scriptures cannot be understood, then there's really only two reasons for that. Number one would be that God didn't want us to understand, that He would have written something that was perhaps almost sadistic, that we could read, but we couldn't comprehend what He was saying. And the second reason would be that maybe that God was not able to give us an understandable book, that somehow He was we were too defective, or He was just wasn't able to write something that was able to be comprehended. And some people would say, who have a certain bent toward the idea that man is inherently evil, that we just can't comprehend this book. He was not able to give us a book we could comprehend. Well, I would suggest to you that if either of those are true, then the Bible would be a lie. Because, first of all, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3 through 5, and we'll look at a few passages this morning. When Paul wrote this congregation, he expected them to be able to read the words that he wrote to them, to be able to process them, be able to understand what he was saying. And so he told them that by revelation God had made known to him the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. He expected people to read and to understand what he wrote. And he continued and made one other statement in chapter 5 and verse 17. He said, therefore, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Understand what God wants from you. That was Paul's conviction as he wrote this letter to that congregation. We ought to be able to understand what the Bible says. Jesus said, when he was here, he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He expected that people would be able to be set free from their sins by virtue of understanding the things that he said. As I was thinking about the class that we were having this morning, we were talking about a parable that Jesus told of the Good Samaritan. And as Kevin was having the kids think about questions they might ask someone if they were teaching them, I thought about the preface to that parable. When it was a lawyer that approached Jesus and raised the question about eternal life. How do you, what do we, you know, What do we have to do to have the eternal life? And Jesus' response was, well, what does the Bible say? How does it read to you? And he waited for that man. He assumed that man could read his Bible and understand exactly what the answer was to the most fundamental and essential question of life was. And the man responded correctly. And so Jesus, in his teaching, demonstrated the ability of man to understand the Bible. And nobody had to interpret for that man what Jesus was saying to them. Jesus was easily understood. And nothing, the Bible affirms, will be impossible with God. And that's affirmed various times in the Scriptures, that God is able to communicate. He not only wants us to understand, He is more than capable of making it understandable what His will is for man. And He's repeated that numerous times throughout the Scriptures. Well, if that is true, and the Scriptures can be understood, then why do men not understand it alike? Because that's certainly a situation in our nation. People do not understand the Bible alike. Well, I would suggest, first of all, God designed His words for two reasons. I want to do two things. I want you to look at Luke chapter 8, so turn there. Luke chapter 8. When Jesus told His parable of parables, the parable of the soils, in the last example, in chapter 8, verse 15, when He talked about the soil that would fall on the good hearts, the good and honest hearts, He says, what fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and a good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. That His word was designed to be understood, and to be understood by men of noble and good hearts, that they would understand it, and that it would result in producing fruit in their lives. At the same time, if you back up just a little bit in verse 10 of that same chapter, He indicates that it would be hidden from others. He said, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. That there was going to be those who would not understand the teachings that He would give. There would be those who would understand and those who would not. Those who had the honest and good hearts could understand the Bible, could understand what the Lord said, and other men would misunderstand. Now, for the rest of our lesson, I just wrote down a list, and this is not comprehensive, it's just a list of different things that would cause men not to understand. Why would it be that some men would not understand the Scriptures? And I just want us to take a few minutes and look through those, and you would add more to this list as well. But the first one is that they would twist the Scriptures. That's a reason man will not understand it. That's the idea of twisting the Scriptures has been going on even since the beginning. The devil set the precedent, didn't he, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve had already received their instructions from God as to what His will was for them. But the devil came up to Eve and he says, did God not say that you can't eat from any tree in the garden? See, he's twisting the Scriptures. He's already made a change. And he never gave up that practice of twisting the Scriptures. Even to Jesus, when he was in the desert being tempted, and he came to Jesus and he said, you know, you ought to jump off this pinnacle of the temple up here. Because you know what the Scriptures say. The Scriptures say that He will give His angels charge over you, and in their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus' response was that you shall not test the Lord your God. He knew that the devil was misusing the Scriptures, and so He responded properly. But the devil, people twist the Scriptures, and because of that, they misunderstand them. But not only that, people pervert the gospel. I didn't read, let's not skip my scripture I put up there. Let's look at 2 Peter, though, chapter 3 and verse 6. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16, when Paul, or Peter, was writing to Christians in his day, he talked about the apostles Paul's letters, that they were not always that easy to understand, but he says in the middle of that verse, those who are untaught and unstable twist them. And they twist them to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. So not only would the devil twist the Scriptures, but many people would twist the words of the apostles and the prophets and they would do it to their own destruction. But secondly, I put that they would pervert the gospel. That sometimes people understand because they pervert the gospel. You know, for centuries, the Catholic Church has taught that salvation comes by people being saved by their works. That you do things in order to be saved. That is the source of salvation, through your works. As time went on, people saw the fallacy in that. And there were various men that rejected that. They're usually called reformers. A man by the name of Martin Luther tended to be at the forefront of that. And his response was, that is not right. We are saved by faith, and faith alone. That's sola scriptura. And that was a very bold statement. Cost him his life. And I appreciate Martin Luther's conviction and his desire to stand up against this false gospel of being saved by works. Unfortunately, Martin Luther overcorrected that false gospel, and he ran right off the other end of the table. And it became a salvation by faith alone, where your works had nothing to do with it. And that itself was also a perverted gospel. And in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 7, Paul indicated that that challenge, or that temptation of men to pervert the gospel, has been going on even since the first century when they had preached it. He said, I marvel that you, he wrote to the Galatians, and said, you are already turning away from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. And so even then, people misunderstood the gospel because they listened to a perverted gospel, and they changed their convictions based on that new message that was being taught. Well, other men will misunderstand, the Bible says, because they add to the Scriptures. I think today, one of the greatest illustrations of that is by the idea of people being led by the Spirit. If anything characterizes our age and many churches that have left the Scriptures and added to them and went beyond them, it's because they claim to be led by the Spirit. And they have twisted that passage. And so some will say, God wants me to be happy. The Spirit has indicated that God wants me to be happy. And so the Holy Spirit has told me to divorce my wife because God wants me to be happy. And so they added to the Scriptures. Completely different. Then what's interesting, it always seems to be almost exactly the opposite of what the Spirit revealed in the first century. But people misunderstand many times today the faith that was revealed in the first century, because they twist the Scriptures, they pervert the gospel, and they add to the Scriptures by allegedly following the Spirit of God, who seems to lead them always in different directions than he did in the first century. Also, they hold human tradition, and they reject the commands of God. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 14, Galatians, and I will look at Mark chapter 7 and verse 9 in a moment, but Paul himself had fallen into the same trap of being led astray by the traditions of men. He says, I was advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries, in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. We all like zealous people. We love people who have the spirit and the enthusiasm and the fire in their hearts. Sometimes, though, we think that's true. That guy must be right because he's so zealous. Or that church, because it's so zealous, must be right. But zeal without knowledge, there's a problem with that. And Paul was a very zealous man, but his zeal was for the traditions of his fathers. And those traditions even led him to mistakenly put Christians to death and to blaspheme the name of Jesus. Men misunderstand the Bible because they are too wedded to the traditions of men. Even Job, and if you're in our Wednesday night class, how many times could we count the statements of his friends who said, this is what the ancients have said. We're consistent with what we've always been taught. What's wrong with you, Job? You know what you've been taught. They have been raised understanding things a certain way. And that's how they interpreted Job's situation. And they were wrong, because they were too wedded to traditions. And so that happens today. What my parents said, they taught me so and so. Well, they may have been right, or they may have not been right. But that should not be the standard that determines what right and wrong is. What did the preacher say? What did the college say that I know? What do the churches of Christ say? What does the vast majority of the churches teach? That is too often the standard by which we measure what is right and wrong. What does the majority say? Mark chapter 7 and verse 9, when Jesus was here, the problem was very relevant in his day. The Jewish leaders had led the people away from the Lord by virtue of traditions that they had created. Maybe with good intentions initially, but good intentions are not the truth. That shouldn't drive us. In this case, it says, Jesus said to them, "All too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition." And so there was illustrations of that in that text, but the point is traditions is what misled many of Jesus' contemporaries, and it misleads people today. Other men will misunderstand because they go beyond the doctrine of Christ. Over in the book of 2 John, if you turn over there for a moment. In fact, let's turn to 1 John to begin with. We've been studying that in our class on Thursday night. And one of John's favorite phrases as he wrote this letter near the end of the first century, and he kept saying to the Christians as he tried to combat some of the false teaching that they were dealing with, those who had left the faith, is that his favorite phrase to me seemed like it was, "Back to the beginning. What you heard from the beginning, that's where they were to go back to." And he was not talking about just traditions that their forefathers had taught them or what the church had said. They were to go back and think about what the apostles had said and what Jesus had said from the beginning. And so he doesn't seem to be bothered by repeating this numerous times in his letter. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 7, he says, "Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning." Or chapter 2 and verse 24, 1 John 2 and verse 24. "Therefore, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. And if you have heard from the beginning, what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father." Chapter 3 and verse 11. "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." And then if you turn over to 2 John, where I have the scripture up here, in verse 5 and 6, he comes back to it again. "Now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have heard from the beginning, that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk according to his commandments." That's the bottom line. John said, if you'll just go back and remember what you heard from the beginning, if you'll stick to what you were told by Jesus and by his apostles, then you won't be distracted by these false teachings. And in verse 9, he says, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son." Part of the reason people misunderstand is because they don't stick with what they heard from the beginning. They go outside of the doctrine of what Jesus had said. And then this one, they ever learn, but they never come to the truth. Never come to know the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, people may think that the scripture is defective, that there's a problem with the Bible. It's too complicated. It's just for the experts. We can't really understand it. But I want you to look in 2 Timothy here, beginning in verse 3. He talks about these people who are always learning, but they never come to a knowledge of the truth. And they may say, you know, it's just too hard. We just can't understand the Bible. It's too complicated. Well, look at the first verse of that chapter. Let's see if it's the Bible that is the problem. He says, "Know this, in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to their parents, unthankful and unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, and having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people," he says, "turn away." And about these very people, he says, they are always learning, but they're never coming to the knowledge of a truth. Does it sound like the problem is with the Bible? Is that why people can't understand? Or is it with the heart of people? Verse 14 and 15, you know, he's still talking to Timothy when he wrote this letter. And his statement was, to Timothy was, "You continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing that from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And so, some will understand. Some would understand the scriptures. People like Timothy who would commit himself to these things that he had learned from the beginning. And then in verse 16 and 17, he indicates that Scripture is more than sufficient to equip the man with a good and honest heart. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so we see here that men will understand or misunderstand the Bible, but it's because they never learn, they never come to know the truth. They're ever learning, but they never come to learn the truth. And it's a problem of the heart. A couple more that I found. They speak perverse things to draw disciples away after them. In Acts chapter 20, Paul met with some elders in the city of Ephesus, the church there. And he warned these elders that there would be a time that would come when even those who were the leaders in these churches would fall prey to the temptation of wanting others to follow them. They would like a fan club. They would like the people. They don't want to be heard. And so he warns them, saying, "Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves." So here are people who would pervert the scriptures. They would change the things that are said in order to draw men to follow them. And so again, we see why people misunderstand the scriptures, because of their motives to have other people and to follow them. And then they'll turn away their ears from the truth. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul charged Timothy, who is a young preacher, to preach the word in season and out of season, to convince and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. And he needed to charge him to do that because people would not always want to hear what he had to offer. And so he says in verse 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they'll turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." Here are people who didn't want to hear the gospel anymore. They wanted somebody to they had itching ears, they had their own desires, and they wanted to find someone who would tell them what they wanted to hear. And so this young man had to be charged to be careful to preach only the doctrine, the sound words that he had been given. People will misunderstand because they simply don't want it anymore. They want something that's more adapted to their way of thinking. And finally, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 through 12. They don't love the truth. He talks about people who would be deceived and misled. And he says it's because, verse 10, the middle of verse 10, because they didn't receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God would send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, and they all might be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Here's people who don't love the truth. They love unrighteousness. And God says if that's the nature of their hearts, if we have that kind of heart, that we love things that are wrong, he said he will help us right on down that path. He will provide us with the lies that we are looking for, with a different faith, a faith that might take us exactly down the direction we would prefer to go. So as I looked at all these different things, and there's certainly more to be that can be put up there, the reason men don't understand, it's not God's fault. It always is an issue of the heart. And certainly I would be the first to say that there are people who may not understand yet, Maybe they're too young. Maybe they're just not to a level of maturity to understand all things. And if they have a good and honest heart, they will understand. Because that's a different category altogether. I'm talking about people who could if they would, but they don't want to understand. Well, because of that, and I'm just making one application because of the time this morning. Because of that misconception that we cannot all understand the Scriptures, we can't understand the Bible alike, the result of that practically has been a denominational world that we live in. People have a broader view of Christianity in our world. The body of Christ, as most people see it today, is denominated into various groups. And this is certainly just a little example of that, 8 groups listed there. And those, there are many people, and I even put the Church of Christ, because there's plenty of people in churches of Christ who have the same misconception about the body of Christ. And this is just a little sample. There are over 33,000. That probably doesn't even scratch the surface of how many denominations there are and types of churches in our country. But the idea is we are all one church, and it's just a different understanding of the Bible that we each have, but we are all one. That's a denominational concept, denominated by names. And we don't want to fall prey to the same concept. You know what? We can not be denominational in our practice, but we can be completely denominational in our thinking. And we always need to check ourselves and see if our thinking is correct with the Bible concepts as well as what we do outwardly. But that's a practical result of those who will not understand the Bible alike, for not having the hearts to search for the truth and believing that we can understand what God said. Well, let me give you, are there many faiths that the church today in our nation, they would say, we have many faiths. And we like that because it kind of fits with our idea, our value system in our nation, that we can be diverse and we can all have our own beliefs about what truth is. But the Bible says there's one faith. And that doesn't go over very well in our nation. It says there is one faith, and that's what we're contending for. Not our faith, but the faith that was revealed once for all that Jude spoke about in the Bible, in Jude, in his book. Let me give you the consequences really quickly. Matthew chapter 15, 13 and 14, Jesus, as he looked at his world and at the division between people there, the division among churches, as there were was in the first century, and I'm talking about Judaism, as they was divided up into all different kind of segments and various denominations. He said in verse 13 and 14, he says, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone, and they are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Jesus pointed out that both teachers and listeners are responsible for what they do with the Bible. These teachers were teaching traditions and things that were not consistent with what the Bible had said, and those who were listening to them were following right in their footsteps. They were not challenging those things. They were not reading for themselves. And he said they both are going to fall in the ditch. Both are responsible. And then finally, the answer to this is in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. One place in the book of Acts, we find a statement of commendation, of approval directed toward a group of people who, when they heard something preached, they demonstrated the right spirit as they looked at the things that they had been told. Acts chapter 17, Paul had come to a city, and he had gone into a synagogue, as he always would do, and he began to preach to them. And it says, as he had left there and went on to Berea, to another city, he thought back about this church in Thessalonica, to those who had he had taught before, and he looked at the church in Berea, or the people in Berea he was teaching, and he says, these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. And so the answer is, men can understand the Scriptures. These people did. The way they did it was they received the word with great eagerness, and two, they examined what they were told diligently. And then they wanted to see whether what they were being told was what the Bible says. We've got to have that spirit. It's about it's an honest heart. It's a heart that wants the truth. It wants to find what God says, and it's willing to put to the test what men say, no matter what their credentials, no matter where they stand, no matter how many, whether the majority or the minority support them. That we have to have the disposition of mind and heart to call things into question and to want God's truth above and beyond anything else that man might offer. Well, this morning, if you want that, then this would be a time for you to seek Jesus. The Bible can be understood. Jesus said, when he talked to that lawyer, and he said, what does a man need to be do to be saved? That man said, you need to love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And you need to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, you spoke correctly. Do this and live. That, in a nutshell, is what is necessary for eternal life. To love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That encapsulates what it takes to become to be saved. And if we love God, we'll find out how to enter into a relationship with Him. And He calls us to enter it on His terms by being baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, turning from our sins. But then we have to give Him our heart. It's not some kind of just checklist, not just some kind of duty thing where you just go through a little checklist and you got it all wrapped up. He says we must love Him with all of our heart. And then we have to love our neighbor as ourselves. Maybe this morning you want to do that. We can understand the Scriptures. If you do understand them and you want to become a Christian, then this would be a good time to do it while we're together, we stand as we sing.